you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to the official Project Blue Book podcast. I'm your host, Tara Bennett, a senior producer for Sci-Fi Wire. So, podcast listeners, if you remember earlier this season, we had a guest tease that Episode 9, Abduction, was a particular favorite. And so with that, we had to get her back to talk about it in detail. So this week, we welcome back Mimi Hynek herself, actress Laura Minnelle. Hello.
Hello, hello. Nice to hear your voice again. Nice to be here.
So great to have you back, because this episode is so wonderful. And with us in the studio today is executive producer and showrunner Sean Jablonski, who's going to dig into all of the details from the writing perspective this week. Hello.
Hello. Nice to be back.
So nice to have you here. And, you know, this episode, as we begin, and in the episode before that, there was a confrontation between Mimi and Alan, where, rightfully so, Mimi's had it. She said, This is too much on our family. It's too much on our marriage. And you got to make a choice between this Project Blue Book gig and us. In those early moments when you're establishing the episode, Sean, tell me about where you wanted Hynek to be, where you wanted Mimi to be, and that this is a choice that they have to make as a couple, but it's a huge one.
Well, before I dive in and answer that question, I just want to say this for me is creatively one of my most favorite things I think I've done. And that's across the landscape of my career.
Wow.
I just felt like it was a real sort of nice coming together of all these storylines. And I thought really pushed not just the stories for our character forward, but the series as well. It was also done under a particular constraint that happens a lot of times, especially in first year shows. It's called a bottle show, which basically means you don't go out on location.
Right.
You do it as a way to save some of the money you've inevitably probably overspent,
although
we did come up on budget, but it's almost like a play.
Yeah.
So that was one approach in terms of just how to think about it. But in terms of your question about where to sort of position them at the top, it was really teed up at the end of 8. It's like you have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And that's really what writing drama is about asking your characters to make choices, and that tells you who they are. And so you needed to, I think, reset that right at the top with that phone call and get a sense of what space they were inhabiting. And so to see Hynek alone in that office, literally facing the history of what he has done so far, I think really gave a great tee up for his mindset. And then to see Mimi at home alone, not able to see his face, but understanding there's something more going on. And I thought the way, again, Alex Graves, who was our director for both this and episode 10, just shot it beautifully and really found a way in that wonderful tracking shot along the wall to make you feel like they were both connected, but in very different spaces. And I will give a shout out to Alex, too, in the sense that he had this great idea for this line. I don't know if you remember it, Laura, but he said, you know, I feel like Mimi needs to acknowledge this sense that I feel like we're in danger.
Mm.
That didn't exist in the script until Alex had taken a look at it and we started having conversations. And he said, I just really feel like that really sets the tone like immediately and lets the audience know. So once that dropped in, it just felt like that allowed everything else to sort of go off to the races, as it were.
I think it did feel extremely organic and perfect in that moment because, I mean, Mimi does go through a huge arc this season. And I think starting off this year, I don't think Mimi would have been strong enough to really ask for what she needs and what she needs for her family. But she's been really pushed into the situation with Project Blue Book and with it becoming a threat to her family and to her son and herself and being really pretty much stuck in her own little island in a way, not knowing what is going on. And being in this very confusing situation with her husband, not being supportive of her mm-hmm. when she's going through all this and is in a very scary place. So it's been interesting getting to that point where she gets very solid and very strong and also needs to have him choose the family or Blue Book. And I don't think that was an easy thing to ask, but it was a very important thing to ask.
I want to ask in the playing of this, so Alex Graves is known for not only doing epic scale things like Game of Thrones, but he worked on the West Wing, which is all talking and dialogue. But this episode, as Sean said, is structured in that it's basically two plays that are cross-cutting with each other. And so this episode in particular is a pivot point in Susie using you in a way that has never happened before. And so there's an escalation. Tell me about working with Alex and if it felt differently than scenes that you had played earlier in the season when it was just you and Susie. And then certainly because this hits a climax that is nefarious, we haven't necessarily seen Susie go to these lengths ever in her relationship with Mimi.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I have to say I loved Alex Graves as well. He's a lovely, lovely, lovely man, very intelligent, really an actor's director. And it was a strange place to go with Susie in a way, especially because there is so much trust involved in Mimi's part. And Susie really has become this important person for her to fill this emotional void and to be there for her in a very intimate, emotional way. And that scene where Susie does take advantage of Mimi yeah. and goes that far in a way, God, it makes me so uncomfortable even just to think about it right now. It's such a betrayal on Susie's part. And I think everyone has been kind of falling in love in a way with Susie and Mimi. And it is a real connection on both sides, even though Susie does have ulterior motives. But watching it, it's so disorientating. And just the way it's visually depicted on camera, God, you can see, I think at least, you can feel Mimi's sort of subtle hints of care for her towards mm-hmm. Susie in her vulnerable state. And I think also because of that, she gives in to this kiss. I don't think it's something, even though she might feel a certain way towards Susie's energy, I don't think it's something she would have normally let happen. But her inhibitions have just been thoroughly removed. It's just so screwed up in that it wasn't willingly taken from right. her. And she was very much taken advantage of her. And it will be interesting to see as well how the audience feels about that.
Yeah. So, Sean, let's talk about when you're crafting an episode like this, where you've worked so hard all season long to make sure that we still like Susie as a character. This is a really finely crafted moment. So tell me about whether it was in the conversations of modulating performance or on the set or working with Alex to block these major moments of drugging Mimi, making sure she's drunk enough that she can put her in a assault kind of moment, but also a moment that could be used against her and her family in the future.
This goes a long way to saying how much I respect Alex, is that I wasn't on set for any of it.
Okay.
We always do what's called a tone meeting. I was there during prep, so we had to have a lot of good conversations about it. But sometimes I find that when the writer is on set, and I do encourage that for all episodes, but it's this was something I so felt was for me realized on the page,
yeah.
and that you like to sort of hand that over and let your actors and the director yeah. come in and take over, and I had such absolute faith in it. So for that, I'm grateful. With respect to Susie and the storyline and sort of getting it there, I mean, I kind of looked at it as there's this episode of The Sopranos where it was very early on, and I think it was Tony went and took Meadow to college, and he wound up killing someone who was the rat. And the story goes that HBO, I had heard, was really like, how can we do that? How can we turn this man we're trying to get behind and portray him as this killer with his daughter? The audience will turn on him. And David, the creator of Sopranos, said, if he doesn't, then they will turn on him because then he's not being true to himself. And so to me, Susie in that moment is being true to herself,
yeah.
which is this is her mission.
Mm-hmm.
Her mission is to infiltrate. I think the only reason she gets those photos, in my mind, is so that when she already knows she's going to go back and kill Cal, she has an insurance policy. And this was a way to wipe the slate clean. And I think she played it beautifully in that she was conflicted, because I do feel like she's managed to bring some real emotion to that, and I tried to write it that way. But she absolutely had to do that for her to be believable as that character. It felt like it would feel a little too TV if it was like, I'm so close, but I feel for you and I can't do this. It's like, no, you're on a mission. Yeah. We're all adults here. You're doing what you need to do. I think the way it was executed, again, Laura, between you and Ksenia and how Alex put it all together. Like I said it early on. There are very few times when you feel like you can, as a writer, not just get scenes, moments, acts that feel like, wow, that's exactly what I felt, imagined when I was putting it on the page. And to me, from opening frame to the end, I was like, this whole thing felt like the closest I've ever seen to something being realized from what I put on page to screen.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, Ksenia's performance is really wonderful too, because even in those moments where maybe she's hugging Mimi, and every time she has to have an intimate moment, you just see what she's having to do on the inside to separate herself from what she's actually doing. And it's really beautifully played between both of you and then realized.
Going back, especially with Cal, and I think this was indicative, especially of women at the time, is that, and I've always felt like the reason Susie connected with Mimi is that these were both women who are sort of being put in their place. They're being asked to sort of play a role, and men are over them trying to control what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt, for me, and I'd be curious to hear your insight here, but that one of the reasons I think Susie connected authentically with Mimi was this sense of, even though she's this gun-toting spy that's supposedly high up in that field, she still has Cal over her. And so she feels that pressure coming down. And so in a way, this is Susie's coming out, where she finally gets to get rid of Cal in that way too. So,
and Laura, just in terms of, was there an empathy that you felt for her as well as you did for Mimi this season?
Well, I think there's always an empathy. And I think I mentioned in the last podcast we had, it's so bizarre for me because I'm so engrossed in the scene and the moment and being with Susie in her world and seeing her as my friend. But it's so bizarre watching later on and seeing where she's really also coming from and all those little subtle bits of manipulation and what she needs to do. But essentially, it's all for her survival in a way, right? It makes sense, and you do feel for her, and I think the audience will understand her as well from that viewpoint. But to get to see it as an audience member, it kind of blows my mind a little bit.
So I want to ask about the other big part of this episode, which was bringing in Thomas, who is the really desperate soldier. We can read these cases and think, oh, wow, that's cool. What would the light look like? But you guys have personified it by going, no, these all have impact on people. Having Thomas and his wife come in. The framing of this episode is really lovely because we don't always get the intimacy of someone's first person account.
This card was on the board from very early on, and it was something I pointed to when I said, I'm writing that episode. Because to me, it's funny, like even talking about this, it's clearly an emotional ride because I'm feeling it now. The conceit of the episode was, it is about exploring a marriage. And by that, it was being tested in your marriage, being tested in your relationship when you're faced with that kind of trauma.
Yeah.
Right? How does that look, not just for Thomas and his wife, but for Alan and Mimi, what's going on in their marriage, but also Hynek and Quinn.
Yeah.
I consider that a marriage.
That's a work marriage, yeah.
And I consider Mimi and Susie to a degree the same thing. And so it was this idea of looking at introducing this sort of alien abduction in a way, or just traumatic disruption, better word, and how these couples now all have to deal with it simultaneously. It's loosely based on, there was the Barney and Betty Hill case, which was the abduction. We talk about New Hampshire. We lifted a lot of very similar details. It takes place a lot later on in UFO lore, but it just felt right at the time. So moving everybody to this sort of critical mass point by episode 9, the penultimate episode, it felt like you had to have something big go on. And it literally had to be like, we've got to put it in your face to go, what are you going to do? And especially because because it needed to feel like a play and not just people talking. We needed to give it that heightened level. And that first person account was always part of it as well. And again, Alex, I keep singing his praises, but he wanted to do all of that stuff practical. All of Thomas floating in the spaceship and all of that was done on a stage with screens and lights and barely any VFX.
It looked amazing.
It really did.
I think the car, there's a few shots, but it's mostly practical stuff.
Tell me about making that look different than what we've seen, if it came from other cases or just you guys wanting to, again, put your stamp on this kind of storytelling.
Honestly, I think the only thing I really contributed to in that moment was the notion of having drones come down from the larger ship to sort of explore and then go up. On the page, it doesn't read as what it appeared to be, but Alex had come with a few ideas just in terms of shape and our production designer as well. And I think I just said at the time, as long as we've never seen it before, I'm down. So wherever you want to go, I trust you. And that comes from having the people around you that you respect and trust. And I think in any great work environment, you bring those people on so you can let them do their job. And thankfully, we have such great people that you just go, oh, I love what you did. There was also the way African Americans would be treated back during that time. It was very easy to think you have to address part of the race issue during the time.
Right.
And I did make a very conscious decision to say, that's not what this story is about.
Right.
And I don't want to introduce it and make it about something else. Again, because I wanted to explore a marriage and the idea of what that disruption can do. Introducing race, that is such a much more complicated issue at the time, brings it somewhere else. And there's a saying I use in the writer's room all the time, which is chase two rabbits, go hungry, chase one, get dinner. And
great.
So if I'm trying to write something and I'm trying to tell a story about a marriage and now I'm trying to make it about race, I'm not going to do justice to either one. I don't know if anybody would have caught it, but in my mind, it felt like it landed when Thomas's wife says to Quinn when he's sitting in the hallway, don't you have someone that you would basically die for or that you would care about in that way? And he's silent because we don't know much about Quinn outside of that relationship. We've seen him at home. He's alone. We don't get that he's with anybody. And I think it ties into something else. And for him to step up at the end and say, you make me a better man.
Yeah.
I'm getting emotional.
No, it's absolutely. It is. It's a really wonderful moment. This is where my heart lives when I'm watching these kinds of TV shows, is that you really do fall in love with these characters. And the sadness of where Mimi's been in her marriage. And then we see that in Quinn and his loneliness and that. As cool as it is to see the moments of abduction, it's really about seeing where these people are emotionally.
That was why this one was so very important to me, is that I really felt like it was the best opportunity to really get into the characters and really show, I think, what we've been trying to show throughout the season and in a different format and really bring it down to a personal level.
You know, I want to talk to you, Laura, about getting to be in her skin for the whole season, you know, and almost being at the end of her arc by this time in the season. Was it a resounding idea of anything in particular for you that even though you're playing a woman of a certain time, that it felt particularly poignant to you or opened you up in an empathetic way that you didn't expect?
I think just first of all, I think it was really interesting playing this from the 1950s perspective. I mean, it was, God, it was a really repressive time in a lot of ways for women in terms of, you know, being not dominant or outspoken and stepping out of the domestic sphere. And also in terms of just understanding your own sexuality as a woman and exploring any of these things wasn't really encouraged at the time. And I find it really interesting that Mimi does get to start to question her place in society and does become a stronger woman throughout her arc. And a lot of that does come through Susie and also the challenges with Blue Book. And it's a confusing relationship with Susie and a little screwed up at times. But I think it's been a real learning experience for her. And it also informs her on how she should be in her relationship with Alan and how she does need to be more outspoken and demand certain things.
Alan is coming off of an experience of where he's watched this couple go through the ringer, trying to find answers for them if he can in some kind of way because of the desperation of what they're experiencing. And then he comes back at the end of the episode and sees Unseen outside of his house and really goes off on him. And I think that's like a double down on kind of going, you know, my family is really important and I can see the destruction that's happened to another family. Tell me about making that scene and that kind of button on Alan in this episode.
When he left for work that morning, he was going to quit the job.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he had the experience he did and saw that he was having to question it yet again, and then bringing the threat, the sense of responsibility that close to his house. It's really just about putting the pressure on and putting that character in a place where they, again, have to make a choice. And getting handed a plane ticket is a choice. Are you getting on that plane and dealing with this? Because really, Unseen says, this is what you've been looking for.
Yeah.
This is proof. And I think that's probably the only thing you could have offered Hynek in that moment that would have moved him out. And interestingly enough, too, and this is what will tee up 10 next week,
mm-hmm.
that scene of Hynek coming into the house and doing all of that was initially the opening of episode 10.
Interesting.
Yeah. But again, Alex coming in and saying, we want to feel like this is a two-parter and feeling like this connected. We moved that into the end of episode 9. So you felt like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I have to come back next week and see how this sort of all happens. But really, it's just about setting Hynek up and giving him a choice that's, you know, how is this guy who's claimed that all he's been looking for is proof and understanding going to give him that moment? And yes, you got to make a decision. Are you going to leave your family now to go find proof? Or are you going to stay and go, I'm not interested? And I think that was the idea, is to get him to that point.
And that's a big moment for Mimi as well, because she had started the episode, okay, he's going to go do this thing that we've decided is best for us as a family. I love that it's a wide shot from down the hall where he's whispering something to you.
Scripted that way, too, yeah.
Which is great, because we know that something has happened between this husband and wife that has allowed her to be able to go, you got to go do what you got to do.
I think a lot has changed from the episode previously, right? Like where Mimi was very upset, very demanding in terms of Hynek needing to make a change for the family, but then coming to more of an understanding of what he's actually been going through, and that he's been going through his own emotional journey, losing Fuller and what that means for him, and her coming into a bit of empathy towards that. But also understanding that her husband has been working so hard and is so close to grasping more of an understanding of what is really going on here.
Yeah.
You can't say no to that, right? You have to be there for him. You have to support him and say, yeah, do this. So that's an important moment for her and for him especially, for her to say, yes, go do this. Go find this out.
I'm curious, Laura, did he actually say anything to you in that moment? Did he whisper anything to you?
He did.
What
this
did he say?
How, like a year and a half ago or a year? Yeah. I'm trying to remember, but he did. He
say, did you try the
something.
Carrots at craft
exactly,
service?
Exactly, right. Yeah. Like, chicken
think,
for dinner?
I think in the rehearsal, he might have said, like, rutabaga, yeah. something like yeah. that, where yeah. you go, what? But in the actual moment, we were discussing something about the mystery of what is going on and getting very close to grasping at something. But what those exact words were, I'm not sure. You'll have to ask Aiden.
You know, it's
if
funny.
He remembers.
Because that, I think I had gotten pushback from someone about, not you or Aiden, but the idea of like, well, what do they say? And I said, for me, in any marriage, in any relationship, you're never going to fully understand what those two people understand about each other
yes.
and the shorthand that they mm-hmm. do have. And especially the way Alex shot it, in that we're outside looking in, and it's this realization of there are more secrets and more intimacy between these two people that we are not privy to,
yeah.
that all it takes is that little moment that allows that choice to be made. Again, the way it was realized, I thought, was great. In words, they would have not helped.
No.
Because it would have, any long-term relationship, you have a shorthand, you have a way of touching on things that nobody else is going to understand in intimacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you get the intensity from your partner and go, oh,
and I wanted the
different.
Audience to feel that, like, oh, I just, okay, here we go.
Susie has a turning point as well. It's such a great noir moment of her going back to Cal. And there was a very gauzy moment when she is undressing Mimi and we see her kind of working her own buttons. But you're like, did she do this? Did she fabricate a scenario so that she could do the blackmail? And so we see her walk into that car and talking to Cal and not knowing. And we get that really wonderful turn and really her emancipation from somebody who's been really mm-hmm. awful to her. We know that she has an overriding mission and Cal is not the end-all be-all, but we do leave that moment going, well, what's Susie's mission now?
It's funny, you know, the evolution of that character changed as we got in. We had different designs early on about where that was going to go because we were concerned. I know I was concerned that they could have an expiration date for her.
Sure, definitely.
And how do you take her up to that moment, certainly with Mimi, and then continue to play that? It didn't feel like that relationship was an honest version of how to sort of move forward. So one of the great things about the stories evolving as they do, and in a writer's room, and in a series, as I like to say, all of the ideas are like having kids. I can say that I have kids, which is to say you have wonderful designs about what you think they should be, and then they grow up and tell you who they are. And this was the case, I think, with the Susie storyline. And then once we saw her together on screen with Cal, played by Curry Graham, you just felt like that was going to be such a wonderful moment when that did happen.
Yeah.
And again, it gives her... She did take those photos, and that camera just wasn't shot. She took those photos, gives her leverage sort of moving on,
mm-hmm.
and complicates things. It really complicates things because somebody's going to come asking at some point, what happened to him? Why
yes,
was he dead?
Yes.
What did you do? It just felt like it had a lot of great ingredients to, and look, you got to kill people. If Game of Thrones taught us anything.
Yeah, you got to knock them off.
You got to knock them off.
He kind of deserved it.
Yeah.
This was just great emotional storytelling and a great tipping up towards the finale next week. With that, I will thank both of you for being able to so eloquently talk about the emotional and narrative progression of the story in this episode. Sean, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And Laura, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
It's always wonderful to hear your perspective. You're such an important part of this storytelling, and it's been really, really wonderful to watch your progression with her as a character. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Lovely talking to you as well and hearing your voices from afar.
Bye, Laura.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Laura. Take care.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you so much, actress Laura Manel, for calling in this week and again giving us such wonderful insight into Mimi Hynek, and for Sean Jablonski, who, of course, is our showrunner and wrote this episode. Really great insight into the whole piece. And also, love to my podcast team for making this sound as great as it does. Producer Kirby Dixon, producer-editor Paul Terry, mixer and master Dave Draper, and LA Digital Recording. And thank you, the listener. Any of your reviews, any of your positive feedback, any of your interaction on Twitter has been so wonderful. And as we head into the final episode for the season, it's really put the wind under our sails. We want to thank you and hope you will join us next week for the great big finale of season one of Project Blue Book. Boy, oh boy, we've got good stuff for you to see in this finale. So make sure you keep watching the skies.